Hello again, Perf Bites listeners. It's Lucifer here, giving a big shout out to my good friends Mark and James for their continued coverage of the worldwide IT disasters and outages. There are times when I wish I could take credit for all those impressive crashes of ticket websites in the UK, Indian Airline sales promotions, aging rock and roll hipsters, and student test results. That one always gets me, because you know it's just that static content that they could cache in the CDN, right, dude? Come on. Anyway, love the work you guys are doing. Don't forget to send a pair of those Perf Bites shoes right after this week's edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
Oh my gosh.
What was that guy's name again that screamed?
Larry, I think it is.
Larry.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the governor of Maryland, is it?
No, totally no relation whatsoever. Okay. Yeah, exactly. No, the guy from Maryland's a perfectly nice gentleman. Public servant.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. James, News of the Damned. We got some good ones. Good ones, yes, in the spring, yes, of 2015. Another News of the Damned.
So, Mark, we need to start off with an announcement.
Yes.
So, it's spring, and there are a lot of people who are expecting.
That's true.
Including our previous Woman of the Year, Princess Catherine.
The Duchess of Cambridge. She's expecting again.
With the royal baby almost here, we need to issue a general advisement to the British fashion industry.
Sure, a public service announcement.
Yeah. So let me clear the throat here.
Okay, go ahead. Get ready. Listen up, everyone.
Attention, British fashion houses. If you have sold any article of clothing that may at any time be seen being worn by Princess Catherine, particularly in the days or months following the birth of the spare, please take action to fortify your website today by contacting a CDN provider. Eliminate dynamic content from your front page. Set your firewall filters to maximum for bot traffic and lash yourself to the mast for the duration. Expect a turbulent ride.
Lash yourself to the... She is. It's going to be fashion crashing time.
They are a seafaring nation.
They are. I think we're having a new segment called Fashion Crashing.
Fashion Crashing.
I mean, that's good fun. That's good. But she is. I'm ready to see him because you know what's going to happen. I think I think Prince William was in the news recently for some famous, infamous thing. Maybe.
No. I think that when you're talking about infamous, I think that's Prince Harry.
Could be.
He's got that red hair on him. You know, he's dangerous.
All right. What do you actually got for us? Who's crashing this week?
Well, actually, speaking of fashion crashing, we're going to go back to someone who we've seen a couple of times before.
Yes.
We're going back to Target. Now, Target has had some issues. They had Missoni.
Yep.
They had a credit card issue, which actually caused an overload in their customer service.
Yeah.
And they've introduced a new line from designer Lily Pulitzer.
Yes.
And just like Missoni, it comes online. You have all of these individuals coming to Target because this is the place where they can get Lily Pulitzer at the most cost-effective price.
Yep.
And they're just coming in droves. And on Sunday of this week, you had people, as soon as it was available, trying to buy it, even before the store doors opened, so they could go and just pick it up.
Yeah.
Now there was an interesting observation from CIO Magazine's online edition, CIO Online.
That's right.
And it seemed to indicate that Target was doing some of this deliberately. So a Target spokesman, Joshua Thomas, suggested that site slowdowns and some of the issues were actually the company's doing. And here's a direct quote. The overwhelming online traffic led the retailer to take steps to manage the situation that slowed the site down. At certain times, Target only allowed some customers access to parts of its website. And at one point, Target made the site inaccessible for about 15 minutes in order to grapple with the traffic and avoid a full-blown crash.
Boy, I tell you.
Said Thomas. So there is this concept of like a shopping cart waiting room.
Yeah.
There are a number of vendors that implement them. I think our you know, our favorite CDN provider, Akamai, has a model of this.
Yeah, exactly. Intentionally built that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but in many cases, these are kind of patches around the system. There's something at the core, which has impacted Missoni and it's now impacting Lilly Pulitzer, that Target likely needs to look at. And I'm gonna put this out there as a suggestion. Typically, when this happens, it's for too early allocation of some sort of cart resource. You're never going to have 100% of your people convert. You're not even going to have 50% of your people convert. And so if you're handing out some sort of default cart resource
mm-hmm.
before someone actually looks at the cart or puts something in it, and you're not at 50% plus one for conversion, you're allocating too early.
Yeah, I think there's generally, I think this is also just a failed compensatory behavior, right? So versus proactively finding bottlenecks, eliminating them, and tuning up the site, I know Target has a long history of having some really good testers and performance engineers working in there. I don't know where they went.
Yeah, but I'll say this architectural construct on the cart, most performance testers, and even performance engineers, they're looking at how to keep the system up and healthy. They're not looking at this architectural construct and how to go back and make changes to architecture
in order to solve
this problem.
But I'll definitely say that this behavior of we're going to try to throttle traffic in some areas or shut off other parts, just it seems like a real panacea of we just got to keep the traffic, like hold the floodgates. It's like in Lord of the Rings, you know, all the orcs and everything were coming from Mordor, and then they were like going to go at Helm's Deep. They were going to go and they put the thing up, and then the guy showed up to sort of save the day, and that would be us. I would be like Legolas. I would be the guy with the arrows, and then you would be like Gandalf coming on the white horse.
I'd be a large dwarf with a big axe.
Yeah,
just don't toss.
You're over 6 foot though. I don't think that would work. But anyway. This is not a strategy that proactively says success to the chief marketing officer at your company. It says, well, a crap load of people are going to come to the site and we're just going to shut down other parts, other products, other areas of the site because they probably can't make that much money off of Missoni compared to what percentage of sales. It's never going to be like 90% of their sales unless things are really going bad at Target. Which I don't think they are.
No, I don't think they are. I mean, I think this is just the issue of on your cart management side, if you're allocating early and you're holding too long, mm-hmm. both of those are incredibly common.
Yep.
So you show up, I give you a cart.
Yeah.
You may not need it, and less than 10% of you are actually going to use it, but I give it to you. And then I hold it for 30 minutes under the premise that you might go away and grab a drink and a smoke and have lunch and then come back and continue your session. So those two things together can cause a blocking up of resources on 30-minute basis of these cart objects that just hold and hold and hold and hold and hold and you get a bunch of people on the system and then boom, it just falls over.
And leaves you vulnerable to competitors loading up a shopping cart and stopping the world on your site. I think a better strategy, cost-benefit analysis, you know, trading the cost of shutting down parts of the site and losing sales on other products and other things, is directly the same amount of money that you would have had to throw more VMs at the problem in the cloud, get Elastic, investing in elasticity. Granted, this is just one product launch out of many for a very large corporation. I still think this posture that this guy sort of defended, you know, I'll say Joshua Thomas did the best job of trying to explain what they did, but he's explaining what is a dysfunctional reactive anti-pattern versus something that's proactively, you know, tuning the system and making it elastic.
Yeah, if you are looking at implementing a waiting room for your cart system,
yeah,
there's an architectural construct in your base cart system that you need to fix.
Yeah, better to get it right sooner as possible.
And the fact that there's even a market for that tells you how common these patterns are.
Yeah, totally. All right. Sorry, Target.
So, you know, call us. You know, we want to chat.
Yeah, I got to come home to Minnesota. Minnesota's here twice on News of the Dam. This is the first one, Target, you know, right there in Minneapolis.
True. So, Mark, next up is one of Satan's favorites.
Student test scores.
It's those test results. In this case, it is a repeat pretender as well. So,
yes.
Yeah, we had Target, who's coming back. Now we have the India Joint Entrance Examination.
Yep.
Coming back for another year. This is just like last year when we discussed it. So you have all these test results from the Joint Entrance Examination that are made available on the same day.
Yep.
And so you would expect all of the people who are interested to find out what they scored so they know where they can go are going to go look at the test results.
And didn't we tell them last year or even the year before that they could just put this into static content?
We suggested that they could pre-generate all the permutations.
Yeah.
And as a result, it would be static. It would not be dynamic in nature.
Yep.
And if they really wanted to, they could, in fact, preload the cache,
yeah,
depending upon their caching, their provider,
yep,
for 24 hours.
I can think of 6 strategies to help these guys in 5 minutes. And yeah, that no one, you know, come on, you got to get this right.
I mean, India has not exported all of its best performance engineers. There are some left on the subcontinent.
Well, Chinna just left. He's now working somewhere in Denver, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe we can send him back to Chennai. He's going back there to get married, I think, next month. So.
Oh, he may never leave. They may have to ship his Mustang home.
All right. So sorry, India. India student test scores. Satan is just loving that one.
Yeah, you know, he's just laughing his ass off on that one.
Hire a CDN. It's so simple.
Well, you know, it at least pre-generate a lot of the result sets. And you can take your log as you see it today and at least find out how many people, what their arrival patterns are.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to pre-generate the stuff, at least size your system for that. Yep. and exactly. Preload the system.
Beautiful. Sorry, India.
So Mark, next up, it's our UK ticket sale.
No News of the Dam would ever be complete until we make mention of our friends Richard and Mahesh,
yes,
in the UK, and all the work that they do to try to fix every crashing ticket website in the entire country.
I gotta say, I think I understand the core problem with this one.
Okay, great.
So we have the seller's pub, or the sellers in Eastney pub,
yep,
in Portsmouth,
yep, all right,
announced it will be closing August 1st. And so we have this comment from the pub manager, Steve.
Okay.
And Steve said, and I can't do an English accent, so I'm not even going to try. You know, we're just not getting enough people to enough gigs. It's as simple as that.
James, we have a lot of people that listen to the UK, so maybe what we can ask is that they would say that phrase. We'll tweet out this phrase. So from Steve, maybe we get Steve himself to call in.
Yeah.
Somebody go to the Sellers Eastney pub in Portsmouth and find Steve and have him say that quote, and then we'll all edit the audio and put his voice in eventually. So Steve himself said,
we're just not getting enough people coming to enough gigs. It's as simple as that.
Again, you don't really have an English accent, do you?
No, I don't.
Great.
So we've got this comment from Steve, but I think I know the root of the problem, because as soon as they said that they're closing August 1st, a whole bunch of people rushed to the website to try and buy tickets to the remaining gigs. And the ticketing website crashed.
Yep.
So this whole issue of they're not getting enough people to the gigs. Well, maybe this is not a band issue. This is not a venue issue. Maybe it's your web server issue. If you can't get a ticket, you can't get in the door.
Yeah. Clean. Now this seems like a small venue. He's saying they're not getting enough gigs. So maybe it is bands of some.
Well,
sort.
They're not getting enough people coming to enough gigs.
Okay. All right. So if you go,
yeah, and I'm assuming people like equal ticket in this case.
Yeah, exactly. It's a family-friendly historic pub restaurant just off the seafront esplanade in South Sea, Portsmouth. So they have a Saturday breakfast and then a Sunday menu. They have a curry night. I mean, what the heck? For $4, for four, almost 5 pounds, you can get curry? I mean, come on. These guys are, what? Just, I don't understand why these guys are going. Classic roast. Sky sports matches in 3D and HD. Meal and drink for, why? I mean, these guys, this is great. Why on earth would these guys go up?
Okay, so they're closing August 1st. Is there a chance that we could do a road trip? I know you're going to be on the European continent, Mark.
Actually, yeah, I'm headed over there in June. Maybe I'll go pay a visit and get an interview.
Yeah, we could all see if we could all meet up in Manchester and pick up Richard and all go up to Portsmouth.
Okay, let's try. All right, so sorry there, Portsmouth.
Yeah, so and we need to find out from Steve who his ticketing vendor is. That's the goal. We need to say, Steve, tell us who your ticketing vendor is so we have a better feel for who is the root cause for why you're not getting enough people at your gigs.
Yeah, exactly. So sorry.
So Mark, you know, we've already had one item from Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, where gentlemen bachelor farmers, you know, and all kids are above average and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
That some radio show just comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think you should talk about the next one.
Well, so we've had Indiana, the I-STEP program that announced they were load testing and crashing. We had LA, schools in LA. And maybe there was another one in Oregon or Seattle that we covered that are trying to do these standardized testing. And now the latest one is that something's happening in Minnesota. And this is on my old Care 11 channel, Channel 11. It's been Channel 11 NBC for as long as I can remember. They actually did a little cover story saying that some people are quite miffed, as you might say. They're a little bit PO'd, as we might say in Minnesota there.
Yeah, really?
And on a particular day when several schools were to administer the test, officials reported problems logging into the systems. In some cases, school administrators said they were delayed up to 2.5 hours before they were able to get into the system, which eats up the amount of time students even have to complete the test. So it's not a fair test. From a spokesman, Josh Collins, from the Minnesota Department of Education, he says, testing is already an anxious event for some people. So anything that raises that level is concerning to us, and we feel like if we hold our students to high standards, we need to do the same with our contractor. Authorities say after last week problem surfaced, Pearson, we have good friends at Pearson, added another server to the farm that they're testing with and tried to correct the issues, but the schools on Tuesday say the problem still was not fixed. So there's some ongoing overwhelming load coming to our friends at Pearson. So a shout out to Eric Stensland, who we met in Denver, where these guys are located. If you need some help, advice, whatever it is, call us.
Eric,
we're open.
Call us.
We'll be able to help out. And just as a side note to my friends who might not have all of the massive internet bandwidth, you know, that we enjoy here on the East Coast, the Care 11 streaming site, while I was trying to look at the story online, it just kept buffering and buffering and buffering, rebuffering and sending out all sorts of VDPD Adobe errors and not found errors and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. So even the Care 11 site, maybe they're on the News of the Damned for this as well.
Well, Mark, I got to say Care 11, I think, goes into our honorable mention category.
Yes.
Along with a site that I know you probably were pinged with. I was pinged with from several people. Starbucks.
Get your fix. Get your cat. I went decaf. First of the year, I went decaf. I had a little.
You know, I walk by it. It smells nice.
Oh, sure.
I look at the people inside who are going through the DTs on the Starbucks withdrawal.
Right.
And I just look at that and I'm like, I don't want to get hooked on that stuff.
Yeah, and of course now they're talking about racial issues in the country as well.
I think they brought that to an end because I think even Gwen Ifill from NPR said, if you really want to talk race to me before I have my coffee, there's going to be an issue.
Good. Seriously. Good on her. That's a great comment. Exactly. Yeah. So so honorable mention to Starbucks as there's some other functional outage.
Yeah,
it went nationwide, I think. It was like all over. It was some central system of some sort. Like it couldn't make purchases, so maybe it was in the back office accounting or account lookups or something.
There was a lot of free coffee. Yeah,
tons. And that's actually a really good lesson from people who really look at the ROI of doing load testing of any kind. Early, late, in prod, whenever you do it, boy, I mean, just do the calculation of an outage for Starbucks. Time, you know, it's probably what, maybe 10 million lattes at $4 a piece. That's $40 million.
Yeah, yeah. What is 1 hour's of outage worth?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a huge. So, yeah, if you throw on some casual things, I'd say, let's see, how many lattes does Starbucks serve in 15 minutes? And how much does a 15-minute outage cost them?
And how irate will their customers be if you can't check them out?
Yeah, I'm gonna get some stock in Pete's.
For me, I'm gonna go with another Minnesota company. I think stock in Scantron, the people that make the little bubble sheets.
Yeah, who makes the standard pencil, the number two pencil?
The number two pencil. Yeah. I think a lot of people make the number two pencil.
Pencil is an old French word of meaning small paintbrush. It's a stylus, a thin metal stick, scratching in papyrus or wax tablets. There you go. Wood holders were added in around 1560. Then an eraser was attached in around 1858. And then of course, more recently, lead poisoning.
No, that's graphite.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I know. I mean, of course. Oh, wait, I found it here. Found it here. The majority of the pencils made in the U.S. are painted yellow. According to Henry Petrosky, this tradition began around 1890 when the LNC Hardmuth Company of Austria-Hungary introduced their Koh-i-Noor brand named after the famous diamond. And it was the Austrian-Hungarian flag that bespoke the dark colors or not at all, where the Koh-i-Noor was yellow.
Interesting.
There you go. Notable pencil users: Thomas Edison, John Steinbeck, Johnny Carson. Actually, I would say David Letterman throws a pencil at the camera every now and then. There you go.
I used to throw them against the ceiling in the lunchroom.
Yeah, I'll probably edit all this out, but it certainly was interesting to look.
I believe Armand Hammer once owned a pencil factory in Soviet Russia.
Really? Okay. There you go. All right, are we wrapping up?
I think we're wrapping up, Mark. So that is this edition of News of the Damned. We have our standard fare from the UK. We have a number of elements from Minnesota. We have Satan's famous test results for students. And then we have an advisement for the British fashion industry.
Yeah, and I think we'll turn that into a public service announcement that we can share more frequently. Fashion crashin'. Thank you to the guys in Target. So sorry to hear this. And Eric Stensland, we're not joking. Give us a call. Special shout out to our wonderful sponsors, Sosta and Smart Bear. They make marvelous tools. If you haven't checked them out, Sosta.com as well as SmartBear.com. We're going to be seeing, they're at a lot of events and things. We'll probably do some stuff with them this year, which would be kind of swell. And then of course, James, we got to plan the barbecue thing.
Yes. Yes. We must do barbecue.
A beautiful thing.